David, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
That's probably a trick question. Sometimes I really wonder why I get out of bed. Too bloody cold to get out. I had an accident just over 23 years ago, which made me a paraplegic.
Do you mind telling me what happened?
No, that's fine. I took a shortcut across the Salamanca Quarry that people used to use years ago before the apartments and everything, and the track just gave way on me. And I fell roughly about 50, 60 feet.
How was that moment when you realised you were going over?
I don't remember most of it. It's all like a big jigsaw puzzle to me. I remember this bit, that bit, and there's just bits and pieces missing from it.
So when was the moment that you realised that you were paraplegic? Did you have a doctor come and tell you, or did you figure it out?
I was unconscious for about 4 to 5 hours, roughly, that I can picture timelines and everything else like that. I had a feeling when I came to that I'd done something serious. I couldn't move.
How did you get help?
It was actually Friday night going on Saturday morning. So I called for help, and there was wee hours of the morning when people were going in to set up for the market.
How dramatically did your life change at that moment?
A fair bit. Being told that you're never going to walk again and things are like that line, you think, shit, what's going to happen to me? You just never can picture these. You never think of these things. You always think you're indestructible. I look back on things now, and I talk to kids at school about spinal prevention and stuff like that. I look back on things now. I should have ended up in a wheelchair a lot sooner than what I did. But some of the things when you're growing up, do stupid things, you go back later, like, how did I get away with that one?
So what were your plans for yourself before this happened to you?
I used to have a lease on a hotel, the Riverview Inn. I did a lot of sailing offshore, did Sydney Hobarts, things like that, and always wanted to go further with that if opportunities came around, and just, yeah, never thought that I'd be where I am now.
I note you are wearing a 2016 Sydney to Hobart shirt.
Yes. I do a few logistics for a few boats for the Hobart race to sort out things at this end, and I've got a lot of friends that do the Hobart. I haven't gone back to do one, but I will do one at some stage when the timing's right. Still do a bit of sailing with them. I just haven't gone ocean racing again.
So do you still play around on a boat, though?
Yes, I still do. Yeah, I still go a bit sailing. I tend to do a little bit more when I visit friends in Sydney than I do here in Hobart.
What have you been doing for a crust since deciding you're not going to have a hotel anymore?
Done a lot of things. I do a lot of... I look at access to the buildings. I've sat on a couple of disability committees. I was the former chair of the Minister's Disability Advisory Committee, and we gave advice back to the Human Services Minister, or Disability Minister as they call now, on things that are going out there in the community and try to make things better. I've also given advice to the department on setting up their accessible housing.
What do you need to see in accessible housing to be able to call it accessible housing?
Well, you need wider doors, circulation space, making sure they put all the handrails and everything in the right spot in the bathrooms. I've seen access into bathrooms, into hotels, office blocks or whatever, where they've got 95% of it right and they've stuffed up the last 5%.
And that last 5% can make it completely useless, can't it?
Exactly right, can make it unusable.
So we're talking about, you know, you've got the rails, you've got the stall, but the door is too narrow to get a chair through.
Oh, well, they put the door where it opens up on something instead of opening it up into a free space. All they need to do is getting a building surveyor to tick it off, and that's all they need. And it takes someone like myself or others to find out these things and challenge them.
Your particular experience is about access for you and your chair. Have you been learning also about access for other people? People, for example, who are blind or are deaf?
Yeah, it covers like physical disability, like even for someone blind or deaf, making sure that the lifts that they use have got the braille on the buttons, and the blind have got the audio in the lifts. You get all these new modern lifts that are propel you to a particular floor, and it's all touch screen. So what happens if someone who's blind gets stuck in the lift? There's no braille button for them to say, press the alarm saying, I'm stuck. The moment I'm going through a big case at the moment against the development of Parliament Square, not providing proper access. The developers are fighting that tooth and nail all the way.
So what is proper access to you? What does that mean you should be seeing, we should all be seeing when a new building goes up?
Ramps, lifts, or whatever else happens to be there. I mean, for me to access Parliament Square, if I'm standing on the corner of the Customs House, I've got to push all the way up to 12 Murray, or I'll go all the way around the front of Parliament House and up Salamanca to access the Parliament Square when there's a set of stairs going in for someone like yourself can access. Our shoulders for people in wheelchairs is everything. And we overwork them, we're stuffed.
How long does it take you to get acclimated to the chair, sheerly in terms of the muscle required on your upper body?
Oh, huge amounts. Huge amount. You're putting a lot of strain on. At the moment, I've got some shoulder problems. And hopefully, we've got into that sooner than later. I know quite a few people in wheelchairs several times had shoulder reconstructions done. Some of the sports guys, some of them aren't. I've had my issues when I was doing sport. Also, one of the things I did, I tried to go for the 2006 Winter Paralympics doing alpine snow skiing. Ended up with an injury that put things back, and I thought, I'm not going to spend another 3.5 years trying to get myself back up the top again. I've just now gone back recreational skiing.
What made you want to be a Paralympic skier?
I had skied before I had my accident, but it was always a bit of no guts, no glory. We go into the pub at lunchtime for skiing, have a few frothies, amber ales, and go and see what we can do in the afternoon, what we wouldn't tackle in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I went to a camp in New South Wales back in 2002, and I got picked up a few of my little bad habits from skiing, but I picked it up fairly easy.
It felt natural to you?
In a way, yeah. It was quite interesting. The ski instructor that it took me said, you used to be a skier, didn't you? I said, yeah. I said, how do you know that? He said, I can see your bad habits coming out.
But he thought you were useful enough to be worth competing?
So I got picked up for the development squad. I had 2 years in Colorado, a place called Winter Park, and then came back to Australia and had an injury, and kind of at the end of the season it kind of put me back. And disabled sports just has bigger politics than able-bodied sports on who's going to get selected and who's not going to get selected. But, yeah, I never thought I'd go racing, but it was a buzz, absolute buzz.
I found it interesting when we were negotiating about what coffee shop we should meet at. I'm betting you have a very different map in your head than I do about what's a good place to go to and what's a good place to meet.
Oh, you're exactly right. It's either being able to get in through the front door or where all the tables and chairs are. Someone says their exit. They forgot about the two steps at the front door. Furniture's always a big thing where they've planted their tables and chairs.
How's your parking situation today? Because parking, I know, is a huge bugbear for people in a chair.
It's one of my pet things. There's a lot of people out there that don't need a parking permit anymore, that still have the full permits that were issued back in 2005, that may have had a hip replacement or Achilles tendon, because back then there was no temporary permits. But then you also get people that use their mother's or their relative's permit any time, or you get people who just sit in the car and read the magazine, which they don't need to do.
David, it's been great to meet you. Who are you going to handball me on to next?
I'm going to hand your ball to Marcus Pringle-Jones, another one of our school friends.
What school am I doing the rounds of at the moment?
It looks like Hutchins at the moment, so you can blame it on him if he passes on to another Hutchins boy. Richard threw me under the bus. I think it was an easy get-out-of-jail card for him.
And what makes Marcus interesting?
He's a former Tasmanian who's come back, who is tied up with the Sandy Bay Regatta, who never had anything to do really much with water sports other than he did a bit of windsurfing, but that's about it.
So a non-yachty who's helping to run a regatta.
Exactly right.